listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabriel Owens and Alan Young.
Welcome to Outside the Cage, everybody. I'm your host, Gabriel Owens. With me is my co-host, Alan Young. Say hi, Alan.
Hi, Alan.
And we're here to preview UFC 129 and talk about the news going on today in the world of mixed martial arts. Anything interesting caught your eye in the news lately?
No.
Nothing. Just nothing exciting, huh?
No, nothing earth-shattering.
Oh, there's nothing earth-shattering going on, but stuff still keeps moving. Before we get to the preview, a couple of news notes. Jason Mayhem Miller been assigned to UFC.
Right. He apparently negotiated a new contract with the UFC. Was curious because he once said that he didn't want to go back to the UFC because the terms of their contract were so restrictive and he wanted to be able to quote-unquote build his own brand, which he has done, I guess, at least partly with the show on MTV, Bully Beatdown. So just wondering if his attitude changed or if the contract conditions changed or what. But
that would be my question, though. Are they allowing him, what, you know, he did two seasons, you know, MTV's very well known for kind of, you know, okay, this ran its course and they're killing it after a fairly short run. Yeah. Maybe Bully Beatdown is dead and we just haven't heard word about it, or possibly, you know, they worked out a deal, he can keep Bully Beatdown.
Right.
And maybe in the possibility of seeing, you know, UFC fighters on the show. Or he decided to quit it for a shot at the UFC. We haven't got word yet, so. He has said nothing on his Twitter about it, other than he got signed.
Ah.
And then it was reposted about, at least on my Twitter feed, about 40 times that he got signed.
I quit following him on Twitter because his tweets were boring.
I follow him. I think he has a lot of funny tweets, but
yeah.
Possibly just me. So he did fight originally at 170 last time he was in UFC. Most famous.
It was just a single fight, wasn't it?
I think it two or three.
Hmm.
No, he did fight GSP and lost.
Right.
Probably his most famous fight in the UFC. But yeah, he's at 185 now. Doesn't seem like he can move down to 170. Probably one of those guys, he fought really young at 170, and now he's just
filled out.
Yeah, filled out and gotten larger. Can't make the weight anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting to see if he what he can do at
one dent.
Yeah, 185. You know, there's a, you know, master of the sport. You know, maybe the pound per pound greatest in the sport is the champ there.
Right.
And lots of top contenders. Speaking of 185, officially we are getting Yushin Okami versus Anderson Silva and the Brazilian show coming in August, I think.
No, really? I had not heard that.
Really? Yeah. Yes, that is one of the big fights for the Brazil show. They're looking to stack that with tons of Brazilians.
Right.
Most likely a showcase or exhibition fight with Royce Gracie versus someone. So we have that to look forward to. And Anderson Silva, who's become a pretty much celebrity in Brazil, which he really wasn't before, due to beating Vitor Belfort, who was actually a larger celebrity in their home country.
Really?
Yeah, it's a weird situation where, you know, as many fighters come out of Brazil, the sport isn't huge there. It's, you know,
mm-hmm.
It has its fans. It's decently popular, but it's really not huge there. It's,
mm-hmm.
But Vitor was a well-known celebrity, just, you know, not just from UFC, but you know, he was fighting for the championship with against Randy during that whole horrible situation where his sister went missing, who's still missing apparently, and you know, he was kind of a celebrity there. And when Anderson beat him, you know, that was that whole fight was a big thing in Brazil, and it's actually made a star out of Anderson in his home country. So he's
interesting.
Yeah, he'll probably be headlining. I know BJ wants a fight there. I said Royce is probably fighting. I would guess one of the Nogueiras is fighting on it.
Right.
Vanderlei wants to, whether or not he can. You know, we'll see if they're holding off the Chris Lieben fight till then.
I was going to say, didn't he sign a fight with Chris Lieben? And has that been scheduled?
I don't know. I don't think it's been scheduled, not that I've heard. I just know they have agreed to the fight.
Right.
Vanderlei's been kind of weird, just with who he wants to fight. You know, he famously turned down Brian Stann because he didn't want to be booed, which I don't think would have happened. he didn't want to fight Vitor for some. I think he did want to fight with Vitor, but they didn't want him to fight Vitor. So that was his other fight. So I don't know. Vanderlei's in the downswing of his career, so he's really picking and choosing who he wants to fight.
Right.
Which is his right. He's a legend. He can do what he wants.
Yeah.
Nicest guy in the world. I'm sure you don't follow his tweets because there are a lot of them because he retweets every mention he ever gets, and a lot of them are in Portuguese. So I just I do a lot of scrolling through my trying to find something relevant.
Trying to find something in English.
Yes, and his English is terrible, terrible, terrible on Twitter when he does speak in English. So that'd be interesting to see. I don't know if they'll pull the Chris Lieben fight till the Brazil card, or they're going to put that on soon and hope he'll be ready to fight again on a turnaround for a Brazil shot, maybe against Vitor. And while we're sticking to 185, apparently it is very clear right now. We talked about on the last show, UFC wants Chael versus Bisping for the next season of Tough. This is very in jeopardy right now because
of Chael's situation with the Nevada State Athletic Commission.
Right. The date got moved, and because of the date of the hearing for his relicensing, they basically holding out hope that he gets relicensed and they can start immediately on the show.
Right.
But, it's questionable whether or not UFC wants to do that, and they're just going to go ahead and pick another coach for Bisping or just scrap it and choose two other coaches.
Right.
And with Lieben tied up, I don't think, obviously he's not going to coach against Bisping, which would be the other, obvious fight, obvious coaching choices. And then again, we can go back to the what's his name, Cruz and Faber. It's always a nice backup plan. Also, I think there might
they're scheduled to fight before.
Not each other though, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, that fight's out then. Okay. But you definitely need we're seeing this season, you need a coach dynamic because they got the biggest star in the sport, Brock Lesnar, coaching. They figured this would be a big ratings grab just for him being on the show. It is not. The ratings have been terrible.
Have they?
I think mostly because there is no dynamic between him and Junior Dos Santos. Junior Dos Santos is the nicest guy in the world, and Brock
is. He really is.
Yeah, and Brock has no problem with Junior, it's basically watching to see if Brock will go off on his team, which he's kind of starting to, but apparently that's not drawing like the large casual interest as, they dropped the ball. I think they should have just gone ahead and made, just had him fight Frank Mir, and had them coach.
Yeah.
That would have been a better season.
Would have been. Yeah.
So yeah, we're seeing like 0.09s and 1.0s for Brock Lesnar being on TV. It was just kind of a little surprising, but the season hasn't been the best season I've seen. It's okay. Looks like it's starting to heat up. Brock just lost another fight. His number one
guy who paints his toenails.
Yes, stealing from.
He was heard about that.
And it does seem to be a slightly effeminate man. So. Again, we're always waiting for like the first openly gay fighter in MMA. It'll be epic. Not saying this guy is at all, of course. We don't, no idea.
Yeah. Well, it would be kind of funny if the camera suddenly caught two guys going at it in a house, but maybe that'll happen one of these days.
You never know. and that fight was a, the Brock's guy going, he was the number two pick, and he seemed to be not worried whatsoever about this guy. And as soon as he, I'm not remembering their names off the top of my head, but the guy from DeSanto's team was, you know, a better wrestler and a lot stronger than he anticipated. And essentially after the first round, when he couldn't move him like he wanted to, he kind of gave up.
Yeah.
He choked.
Got choked, literally.
And he got choked. No, I don't think he even got choked. He felt an arm on his neck and started tapping.
Right. So. He didn't have time to, he didn't even try to fight out of it, really.
No, he gave up. Like, he just got frustrated in the fight. He couldn't move the guy, and once he got in a bad position, he just gave up. And rightfully got chewed out by Brock. And the guy who lost last week, you know, who did lose, but he, you know, walked out at the end of the chew-off session, says, you know, I fought my heart out. I don't deserve this. I'm walking. And he did, and last week's fight was the best fight of the season so far. It was a great, great fight. But, again, you know, it's this is the show. You know, we've had one guy go home, and, you know, most of the fights have, you know, last week was okay. The last fight was, the week before was pretty damn good, and the first two fights were terrible. So, I said it's not been an exciting season, you know. But this was the most anticipated season, surprise, you know, just, you know, because Brock, you know, everyone was questioning whether Brock was going to be on, and then it was this huge thing, oh my God, Brock's going to be coach, and it's done nothing for ratings. It's just been a flop. And again, I chalked that up to just not having the right dynamic. You know, people will pay to see, people will pay to see Brock fight, and I think people would tune in to see Brock coaching against a guy he doesn't like a Frank Mir. But, yeah, there's just no interest in just seeing, not like Kimbo, you know, people were just curious to see Kimbo on TV, and he got ratings because they went
see what he was made of, I guess.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah. Against more opponents that weren't handpicked.
Right. And, the Brock season just, I don't, they didn't handle it well, and they expected the name of Brock to allure viewers.
Right.
And it didn't. It just, you know, people just aren't going to watch just to see Brock. They want to see him fighting or maybe yelling at someone he doesn't like, I would say. Speaking of Brock, one of his former opponents, Randy Couture, your favorite fighter in mine, is apparently up to his last fight.
I heard vague mentions of his retirement. I was wondering if he'd made an official announcement.
Yes.
About that. Okay.
He said this is win or lose last fight against Lyoto Machida at the next week.
This weekend.
Yes. So, just kind of a weird situation. If he does win, I mean, it seems weird he would walk away. Cause
I really
I don't want to see him fight. I mean, he could probably get a fight with assuming Jones gets past Rashad. I could definitely see UFC making Randy versus Johnny. But as a fan of Randy and his age, I just don't want to see him. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see him get pummeled. You know, I don't think it's a good fight for him at all.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's probably what he sees, too. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to beat this guy, you know.
Yeah.
I could.
Machida's right up his alley, you know, a methodical fighter, not really a power striker, just
a guy who
picks his opponents apart. And Randy, of course, his specialty is wrestling, is going to, you know, hold him down, dirty box him, and I don't expect a barn burner of a fight there, but it should be a.
You never know.
Tactically interesting, anyway.
You never know with fights. You just, it could be so weirdly interesting fight. Probably more if you're into the technical side of it. You know, Rogan will probably go crazy over the fight, but you know, like a casual fan would be like, "What the fuck? It's just two guys holding against each other against a cage."
Right.
But you never know. I mean. You know, weirder things happen. Randy took the fight because he's just intrigued because he has such a weird, you know, Lyoto has such a weird style, and it's hard for him to train for him. That's what motivated him to do it because he's like, he doesn't follow a typical fighter stance or throws typical fighter combinations. Mm-hmm. You know, and just him as a competitor, he wants to test himself against something, you know, unique.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like he doesn't look at his career past that. You know, he's got, you know, his divorces and his businesses, and you know, he's 48, coming on 48. And,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, as great as Randy seems as a person, he does seem to have like really bad taste in companionship. I heard nothing but bad things about his last ex-wife and his apparent present girlfriend. Not much great things about her either, and she apparently ran off. What's her name? Famous female fighter.
What, Gina Carano?
Gina Carano, yes. They apparently did not get along.
Oh, ran off Gina Carano. I thought you were going to say ran off with Gina Carano. Like
that would be awesome. No, that didn't happen, but yeah, apparently Gina does not like her, and she doesn't like her, and there's the whole thing.
Uh-huh. I
don't know. Maybe Randy boned Gina. I don't know. Maybe that plays into it. I'm just speculating here. This is just speculation. I have no knowledge one way or the other, but it is Randy, and he's a bit of a player, so never put it past him.
And women have a tendency, at the risk of sounding sexist, women have a tendency to find weird beefs with each other anyway that, you know, most men would just look at it and say, what the hell is wrong with you people?
It
happens a lot in workplaces.
It's true. Well, let's get to the preview of the card for next week. This is the biggest card in North American history for MMA. It's like, what is it, 50,000 people?
Something like that. 50,000 seats in the arena.
Have you been
somewhere around there?
Have you been watching primetime?
I have not. Anything interesting happening?
I only saw the first week, and it was good. It was a very good show. They make a point to make Shields look legitimate, competitive, which he is.
Yeah.
I said, I think both of us kind of don't really give a shot to Jake, but
you never know.
This is a sport where anything can happen. As I said before, George, you know, has been knocked out by a guy who is way more of an underdog than him. But
right. Since
then, George doesn't leave a lot of room for error, you know.
No.
But he is the better boxer, and you'd expect him. Even more than Koscheck, he should be able to keep on his feet should he choose. And I think he's, you know, by the third round, he should probably knock out Jake Shields.
Yeah.
I don't see him, you know, just, you know, I don't think he'd be, I mean, he could always be in danger. Jake Shields is, you know, technically a superior jiu-jitsu guy. Why he would go to the ground and risk grappling with him when you don't have to, when he can stand and block his takedowns. His wrestling isn't quite good enough to get George down on the most... You'd think on most occasions. So I would see George keeping it standing, and I'm sure he's in a mood for, you know, he's tired of winning decisions. He wants to make an emphatic finish.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. Other fight, anything else to add on that one? We've talked about this fight 5-6 times now at this point. So.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add that I haven't said 3 times before.
Yeah, they made Jake look good. They had, you know, of course now they own Strikeforce. They brought in footage from the Strikeforce card when, you know, Gilbert Melendez brought him out and everything.
Of course, that's the purpose of the UFC primetime, is to sell the pay-per-view, and they're not going to make Jake Shields look like a loser.
He's not. He's a legitimate contender.
Oh yeah, he's a legitimate contender. Definitely. I'm not arguing that.
Compared to GSP, you know.
Compared to GSP, right.
I literally think Jake Shields could beat any, you know, maybe John Fitch would be the one guy I'd give him trouble against, but anyone else,
yeah.
I don't see who would, you know, he could legitimately beat anyone there, including BJ Penn, I think.
Right.
Other fight on the co-main event, featherweight championship, Jose Aldo versus Mark Hominick. I think that's a pretty... easy win for Jose.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get some guys in at 145 that can challenge him. Nothing against Mark Hominick. He is a top fighter, but Jose's just in a different league.
Right.
We see it every time he fights. He's just, like, the kid's a monster. He's a beast. He's, you know, he deserved his ranking pound for pound.
Yeah.
We talked about Randy Couture, Lyoto Machida already. Very interesting fight. Like I said, it might be very technical, you know, because it's Randy. I don't think the crowd will boo it just because, you know, as long as Randy's, like, in control, I think he keeps the fans' interest. And just as a fan, I would probably just watch it, you know, purely on a technical standpoint. And as a Randy fanboy, I'll probably, anytime he's winning, I probably will be going crazy. So it will be a boring fight for me, you know,
right,
one way or the other.
Might be a nail biter.
Might be. It'd be pretty close. Lyoto's down two fights in a row. I don't see him cutting him, but, you know, he loses to Randy. That's interesting for the former champion and former, you know, guy no one could fucking do anything with.
Right.
And then we get down to Ben Henderson and Mark Bocek, 155. I see Ben pulling it out. Mark Bocek's a tough opponent, though. So, but Ben's proven himself. He's a tough dude, tough dude. You know, another one of these WEC guys just seem to, like, want to prove something when they come up.
Right. I was about to say he was a WEC import, wasn't he?
Yep.
And interesting, this will be the first time they're planning to show every fight on the card one way or the other, because they're showing five fights on Facebook, two on Spike, and five on the pay-per-view.
They're showing the entire undercard on Facebook just because it's live, and that's usually the time when my kid's up and active. I can't record it. The Facebook thing's a blessing and a curse for me. The other fight on the main card, kind of weird. Vladimir Matyushenko versus Jason Brills.
Right. Jason Brills, the guy who lost a controversial decision to Lil Nog and came out smelling real good.
He won his next fight, I believe.
Did he have another one since then?
Yeah, he won. He's a great wrestler.
Yeah.
Vladimir Matyushenko, you know, veteran in the sport.
Right.
I think Jason takes it pretty easy. But it might be another. It might be a three-round decision.
Yeah.
Unless Vladimir catches him, or vice versa. You know, never. In this game, you never doubt. You know, it's like, oh, he's a wrestler. He's a jiu-jitsu guy. And you just don't think about his punching power. And you just, every training camp, a guy comes out different. You know, sometimes we've seen it many, many times. And a surprising undercard fight: Nate Diaz, Rory McDonald. A lot of people thought these two fights should have been switched. Why Nate's on the undercard? Kind of, you know, big fan favorite. Yeah, I mean, he's on Spike, but...
But I was about to say, being on Spike TV might... Actually, I don't know what the numbers are like normally, but it at least has a potential to be a bigger audience.
Yeah, I think they do about a 1.0 somewhere in there. 1.1, something like that.
Yeah.
Roy McDonald's, of course, 10-1, so, you know, it's not a gimme fight at all. It's a very close contender fight. Probably be really good. Both are exciting fighters, so I expect.
And I was about to say, that's another reason it's probably on the Spike broadcast to.
You're right.
Sell the pay per view.
Exactly. You know, I mean, you can lightning in a bottle every once in a while. You know, you do Korean Zombie versus Leonard Garcia one.
Right.
You know, that was they knew that would be an exciting fight and might sell some pay per views. They didn't realize just how exciting and how many pay per views that would actually sell, which is apparently a hell of a lot.
Right.
Sean Pearson versus Jake Ellenberger. Not interested in that fight at all. Pearson's a Canadian native. I'm assuming that's why he's got the spot. Jake Ellenberger's been around forever. It's a fight. I think Ellenberger takes it. Superior wrestling.
And then we get down to the Facebook fights, which are mostly guys whose names I don't really recognize.
Pablo Garza, Charlie Valencia, he's a WC guy. I remember seeing him. Jason McDonald, going way down the card. He's been our, and Ryan Jensen, guys who have been further up the card, at least on fight nights, and now they are much further down.
Right.
So probably make or break fights for all these guys, because the strike, especially with the purchase of Strikeforce, you know, you aren't producing wins or at least super exciting fights, you know, a good chance of going away.
Right.
Cal Watson, John, I have no idea. Who cares? Again, another Canadian.
Of course, you never know how these fights are going to turn out. Some of the best fights are people you never heard of. So.
Yeah, and at the same time, it's like, yeah, they're good fights, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, they don't really matter a lot unless it's a Korean Zombie Leonard Garcia kind of fight. You know, even
right.
if it's a great fight, people say, "Oh, that was a good fight," but they can't remember the names the next day.
Right.
You know, it's been a rare undercard or, you know, under main event fight that can feature two basically unknowns that made a household name. And
right.
the only one I can think of off the top of my head is Korean Zombie. It also helps that he has a nickname like the Korean Zombie.
Right. It's easy to remember, yes. I have no idea what his real name is, but
I keep forgetting it. So, yeah, I mean it's just how it is. You know, you bring in the wrestling mentality of, you know, if you're going to be in the undercard, not only have exciting fight, you know, have a persona, have something that people care about, and
mm-hmm.
you know, they caught lightning in a bottle that, you know, they had this fight. You know, Leonard Garcia, you know, every hardcore MMA fan knows that guy. You know, he's always had exciting fights and wins decisions. He doesn't seem he should, so he's apparently good at making the judges at least make him think he's winning. And you have the Korean Zombie, who's just, you know, one of those guys that just keeps walking forward and swinging, or he used to. He's obviously, his last fight, he game improved phenomenally, actually.
Right.
But he's been training with Team Alpha Male with Uriah out there in California, too. So,
mm-hmm.
But probably a little less exciting because he's not going out there just sticking his head out and throwing wild haymakers. Which, of course, is exciting, but, you know, it's not a good long-term career prospect.
Right.
But he still won with an exciting move, and it was a pretty damn good stand-up war before that. So, you know, take some, you lose some. Other fights coming up. I keep forgetting. Who's Rampage fighting again? I keep freaking forgetting this.
I don't know.
He's got a fight coming up pretty damn soon. Top contender guy. Is it Bader?
Ah, Matt Hamill.
Hamill. Oh. Rampage takes it.
Yeah.
Back to the Rashad-Johnny Bones fight. Looks like the only place I've heard this right now is on my Twitter is from Big Country, who says Johnny Bones is out for 5 months with a thumb injury.
I just saw that news article today. That where is it? Phil Davis versus Rashad Jones. Rashad Evans. So Rashad is going to forfeit his title shot finally to fight Phil Davis, who is also He has a lot of potential. He's had a couple of exciting fights. And
Last fight wasn't that great.
I was thinking his last fight was great. What was his last fight?
It was the Fight Night card. He won a 3-round decision that wasn't that great, I think.
Nah.
But
maybe I'm misremembering.
Yeah, Johnny Bones out for a while with a thumb injury, which seems kind of weird, but the guy did just come up 2 back-to-back fights. He needed a break anyway.
Yeah.
No problem with that. Assuming Rashad wins, yeah, he'll definitely be next in line. But yeah, Rashad does risk losing the title shot, because I think Phil would get it. He would probably get the next one, unless Randy stays in the game. If Randy beats Lyoto and decides, you know, at the last minute, you know what, fuck this, I'm staying in because I got a title shot now.
Yeah,
they would make that fight. They would make, if Rampage wins, they'll make that fight too. So he has opponents coming up besides Rashad.
Yeah.
Tito's fighting somebody soon.
I don't think I've seen that one.
It's an okay fight. Can't remember who it is off my. Forrest is rematching Shogun next fight.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. See if they both come in healthy. See how that goes again.
Could be very interesting. Heavyweight Frank Mir versus Roy Nelson coming up pretty soon. I can't remember which card, but I think a very, very interesting fight for, I don't know if next title contender, but definitely a guy up there. You know, Frank's been in the doghouse for a while, you know, first from his comments with wanting to kill Brock Lesnar and then his terrible, terrible fight with Krokop.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Mir, probably, both of which probably cost him his coaching position on the season of Ultimate Fighter. And, you know, Roy Nelson's Roy Nelson.
He's fat.
He's fat, and he's, you know, he's an entertaining guy, and people love him, and
yeah,
yeah, it should be a fun fight either way.
Yeah,
going down, what's going on? Can't even think of anything going. What's going down at welterweight besides the championship? I mean, Fitch is out with Fitch and BJ Penn is off now. I think Fitch suffered a torn rotator cuff. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Strikeforce heavyweight tournament still on for June. It's in Texas. Shocking, because Barnett's fighting.
The only state where you can get licensed?
Texas pretty much doesn't give a shit.
I was about to say, they don't even have a athletic commission.
They do, but they don't give a shit. They'll just license anybody. That's why anytime somebody's in trouble with the California or New Jersey or... I guess
Nevada
too. Nevada Athletic Commission. They always say, "Well, they can, you know, they can have a licensed fight in Texas because Texas doesn't care." So, yeah, that's still going on. Totally lost interest in Bellator after the Eddie Alvarez fight.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put a season pass on it. MTV renames it every time, so it's a pain in the ass to go in there. Remember to set it every week. So, haven't been doing that.
There's actually a dream card scheduled. How long has it been since there was a dream card?
A couple of months.
Well, it's been more than a couple of months. But anyway, May 29th.
Was it New Year's for the last card?
I'm thinking maybe so. It's been a while. But, of course, Dream has been known to cancel shows at the last minute before, too, so...
Yeah, they're on life support.
Yeah, and that they're doing a bantamweight tournament.
Okay, I still don't get AC Net, so it's just... I cannot be bothered to go out of my way to actually find the fights and download them. You have HDNet. Do you record them and watch them?
I sometimes do.
Sometimes. There's like a fighter on there you want to see.
Just depends on what kind of mood I'm in, if I actually want to sit down and watch a dream card or not.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I will download it if there's absolutely a fight I must see, so.
Yeah.
But, anything else, Alan? I think.
Nope. Not really.
All right, I think that'll do it. This is for our little short, truncated show, just on the preview and news. We'll be back next week talking all of UFC 129 and the consequences of. Other than that, I think we'll see you outside the cage.
You've been listening to Outside the Cage with your hosts, Gabriel Owens and Alan Young. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Outside the Cage is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010 Radio Free Cybertron.